It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, guys, I'm sorry. Welcome to Cardiff City World. We are here for another episode of Five Things We Learned. And five things we learned yesterday about the old Birmingham City versus Cardiff City, which Cardiff City came away with a 1-0 victory. The first half was painful viewing. The second half was a lot better, and I think there's some positives there. And look, I'm all about the positivity, honest. Look, we're trying to find some positives, obviously. It's been a bit brutal since Christmas, but I think there was plenty of positives. And I think, again, I still think that if you can do certain things, there's positives to be had for Cardiff. There's things to build on. And I think that's why I'm just about still on the bulletin train. I think he's playing with a team of players who've previously failed largely, and frees and loans predominantly. And frees and loans are players who other clubs don't want. And that's what it comes down to. It can be consistency and things like that, but that's why there's an inconsistency. I think there's also a couple of players like Jeju, and who he didn't want, he kind of got them thrust upon him. So let him build his squad and then judge him. I think that's the way to do it. Like, there's no one out there really, I don't think, who you're like, oh yeah, I'd like him as the manager. But let's get into it, because it's only sort of 25 minutes or so tonight. Then got Rodri Giggs on Football on Ace Podcast Nation for a half hour. And then at 9 o'clock, we've got a Flower Hour back here on Cardiff City World, featuring Gavin Gordon, ex-Cardiff City striker, which is nice. Gavin's always a good, he's good value, good man. Always a pleasure. But, so I'm going to start with a slightly more negative point, and we're going to build up into the positivity. So number one, the lack of pressing, I think, is a problem for me. So there's kind of two aspects to it. I understand away from home, you want to be compact, you want to make yourself difficult to break down, and like that side of it. But we are literally letting teams come on to us, and we don't push or press at all until about 25, 30 yards out. And that's just too easy for teams, and a better team than Birmingham. And we saw it in the first half, even in the first 20 minutes, Birmingham created chances because we just let them come. We just let them come. There's no aggression, there's no press. And ironically, that did change a little bit when Colwell comes on. So even from a defensive point of view, we pressed a little bit more in the second half. Now, I'm not saying that's down to Colwell. I would say probably the managers told him to be a bit more proactive in the press. But it was still wasn't what we saw earlier in the season, and it's still not what I think this team is capable of. Like, I think we can be compact, we can play possession football like he wants to, but we can also be aggressive, pass with purpose, have movement off the ball, and press. Like, you can do all those things. And he's still building, he's still trying, you know, he hasn't got his team and stuff like that. The lack of press is a problem for me. The lack of, like, we seem to start very slow and methodical, but it's the lack of urgency. Number two, I thought the back four were absolutely outstanding last night. But I'm gonna call it like tactical tweaks, I think. So the back four, first of all, the back four were outstanding for the whole game. I thought Jamaal Collins in particular was outstanding. And I thought after the game, I was very much like, Colwell's got to have man of the match because he changed the game, blah, blah, blah. But actually, I think on the whole, I thought Jamaal Collins was the best defender on the pitch, best player. He had an absolute flawless game. And I'm really pleased for him because he kind of got thrown in the deep end at the start of the season after a long, long injury break. And you could see he was kind of nervous and a bit, wasn't sure. And then he had that 50-50 in the Jacks game, won it. And then he didn't look back. But he still had the odd game where he wasn't great and people criticised him for his quality on the ball. But I think defensively he's been really solid and probably a little bit unlucky to lose his place to Wilson Esbrand, really. I think Wilson Esbrand, just a bit more attacking. But I think Collins is getting better at going forward. But defensively, I thought that he was outstanding. Phillips as well. I thought NG looked much more like himself. He did give the ball away once or twice, but I thought overall he was very, very good. Nat Phillips has been a godsend since he came in, because can you imagine what we'd look like without him? With Noel McGuinness, we'd be struggling. Gutas was good, but he worries me. And I'm not sure. Like, if you ask me, do I want to keep Nat Phillips next year? Yeah, if we can sort someone out with his wages, I would sign Nat Phillips and Carlin Grant. But if you ask me who my first choice pairing would be, it's a difficult one because Gutas is like that John Terry type who'll go attack the ball, throw his body on the line, and then you've got like the McGuinness Phillips mold of who's good ball playing defender. But actually, I think Phillips and McGuinness are quite good defensively as well. So I think they could be a pair if we were able to somehow work out a deal for Phillips. Gutas worries me, I gotta say. But last night, good. Little couple of tactical tweaks I noticed kind of in the game, which I thought were interesting, but also helped the team generally. Just in the first half, I noticed that Rawls was the one who was going to pick the ball up off the defence. He was playing a little bit deeper and sitting, whilst Siopis was the one who was bombing around and the legs. And that makes a lot of sense to me because, Rawls does struggle these days to get around as much as he used to. Siopis has got that energy level and Rawls is good on the ball. So it makes sense to try and play through a press like that. However, I thought in the first half we were really sloppy with our passing. We gave the ball away so much, particularly in our own half. Little balls, and they were very poor. But that was an interesting tweak by the manager to have Rawls as the slightly deeper one out of the two. The other tweak later in the game, before Jeju came on, Colwell was the furthest forward. He was almost playing as a false nine. And I quite liked it because he was pressing and he was getting about and he's big and he's physical. Obviously, he dropped back into the 10 once Jeju come on. But Jeju, I don't know what he is, but he's not a footballer. Real poor signing. Number three, let's move in into the kind of second half. Ramsey's come off with an injury. His studs got caught in the turf and his hamstring. I think he's done for the season now. And I see a lot of people saying, you know, retire, this, that, and the other. What a waste of money. He was very good at the start of the season. it was clear when we brought him on against Swansea, he was nowhere near fit. And if you watch the interview he did as a pundit the week before on Sky, he did not expect to be in that squad. He kind of implied he was nowhere near back to match fitness. And then he was on the bench against Swansea. And I just thought maybe we've rushed him back and then paid the price now. He just hasn't looked at it at all. Like, he hasn't looked up with the pace of any of the games he's come on. He's given away a lot of silly free kicks. His passing hasn't been up to it. He just looks like someone who's probably still carrying a knock or is just not fit. So hopefully he can go away now, get fit, get himself super fit, get injury free now until preseason, and hit the ground running at the start of next year. Number four, Reuben Colwell. Like, I kind of tie this in with the Ramsey one, I guess. Reuben Colwell came on for Ramsey and absolutely changed the whole dynamic of the way Cardiff played. We suddenly were pressing a little bit, still not as much as I would like, but all right, away from home, he pressed. He was good on the ball. Even a few times he tried to link it. He linked up quite well with Bowler. And even a few times he nearly like linked up a little 1-2 and the ball was a bit heavy, or the ball coming back wasn't quite good. But everything, he just gave energy, creativity, aggression, work rate. Everything which I would expect from a homegrown player, he gave. And not just the, you know, he's just not just like a work hard thing. He had the quality and the composure when he gets down the right to pick out Bowler, not just whip it across the box, not hold on to it too long, lays a lovely bit, a little past the bowler's feet, and Bowler finishes it. Bowler, I thought, had another all right game, good finish. I don't understand why Cardiff refused to, like, why don't Grant and Bowler swap wings for a couple of times? It's frustrating. second half improvements as well, I'm going to add into number four. So, some of the positives that I take from the second half is, one, our passing was much better, our pressing was much better. We looked better with Colwell on from halftime straight away. Then you get young Kean Ashford comes on for Bowler, which is something we've all been asking for. And I think I was delighted to see that. I thought Siopis was good. I don't know what Mate was doing in the first half. He was dropping out, putting crosses in the box. And it's like, who are you crossing it to? Because with Ramsey in the 10, Ramsey's not going to be like a marauding number 10 who's getting in the box for a header. So who is he crossing to himself? Because it's frustrating, because he shouldn't. He just shouldn't. He should have been in the box himself. I could understand maybe if Colwell was in the 10, and then at least he's more likely to get in the box. But even so, it was weird. But we did seem to fix that in the second half a little bit. It was great to see Kean Ashford. And like, on that second half performance, and I'll kind of tie this into number five, some of the things which I've been talking about now for probably since January, play Turnbull alongside Siopis, get Ashford and Joel Colwell on 10, 15 minutes here and there, and then get them starting the last couple of home games of the season. So for me personally, like, I saw Turnbull come on for Rawls, and straight away from deep, he's linking up little 1-2s and triangles with Colwell and Ashford. And I'm thinking, there you go. That's what we're looking for from him. You have Siopis as the defensive midfielder, and Turnbull spray it about a bit, play through the lines, give it and go. We saw that. It didn't quite come off a couple of times, but just that potential and having someone who can do what Rawls can do on the, like, with the passing and the vision, but a bit quicker and a bit more aggressive. I was thrilled to see Turnbull in midfield alongside Siopis. Equally thrilled to see Ashford on the right. Equally thrilled to see Reuben Colwell come back and kind of make a point, as if, because I think now, as we stand, that number 10 is Reuben Colwell's. Like, he is that attacking midfielder for us. Yes, I agree with people that have said, you know, he's only got a couple of goals and assists. But you look, as soon as he had movement off the ball, he created an assist. And I've said this earlier on social media. One of the things for Colwell, I think, this season has been, he's been let down by his teammates. Just to clarify, I wouldn't say Bolo was good. I just thought he was all right. He's a good finish. I don't understand. I really don't understand playing him. Like, I don't see the point in playing him, Jeju. They're not going to be here next year. I just don't see the point. And what Ruben needs when he has that ball around the box or down in the wide areas is he needs a decent striker and he needs movement off the ball. As soon as Bowler's made a little dart, 5 yards, he finds him and he scores. Like, he needs that movement off the ball. As soon as Ashford came on, you had that dynamic of Colwell, Ashford and Turnbull from deep was superb. And Rawls to a lesser extent, Sarpis, you know, before Turnbull came on. Jeju came on at 72 minutes. We have played this season without a striker. Mate, he works hard. His link-up play can be all right. He can't finish. He's never in the right place at the right time. He's not a striker. But equally, Atete has shown glimpses, but it's just either not fit or just arguing and falling over. Jeju, honestly, like when he came in, I thought he might get a couple of goals. Dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. I would rather have played Ashford and not even bothered getting Jeju in. And I would like to see Ashford get a chance now. I would start him in the home games, play him off the bench in the away games. Same with Joel Colwell. I want to see him getting some time. But equally, I'd like to see Sarpis and Turnbull start in that midfield too on the weekend. I think that could be a good chance to see them. And we just look so much more balanced. The balance of the side with Colwell in 10, Turnbull and Sarpis, Ashford on the right, Grant on the left. I just thought we looked so balanced and we looked really good. We just haven't got a striker, which is unfortunate. And I mean, there's options. You could put Tanner on the right and you could put Ashford through the middle. I'm not against that. I think that's an option. Let's have a quick look at some of these comments because it's only a kind of short 20-minute one today. Evening. Andrew says, nice to see Ashford play in the second half. Yeah, it's well overdue, mate. Little Philly says, nice to see Ashford play, mate. Colwell has to start Saturday, mate. Well, this has been the problem. The problem with Colwell all season has been every time he plays well, every time he has a really good game, the manager rotates him. Now, I think the one blessing from a Colwell point of view is he hasn't really got any other options. Like, we'll talk about Romeo and Robinson in a minute, but unless you play his brother or you play Tanner in the 10, who else are you going to play there? Ramsey's injured. I would like to just, I do my preview on Friday, but like, just off the top of my head, Millwall's away, isn't it? So I think I would like to see Tanner on the right. I'd probably go with Bowler on the left. And then I'd play Grant through the middle with Colwell behind him because the other strikers are so useless. I know people will say, like, hasn't really worked with them. Yeah, it's the way I thought it was. It hasn't really worked with Grant through the middle. But when he's played, he hasn't had the right players behind him. And I think if you can get the right players behind him with Grant playing up front, especially away from home, I think that could work. So I would play just, and this is off the top of my head before I really look at like Millwall's system and stuff. Bowler on the left, Tanner on the right, Colwell behind, Grant through the middle, Turnbull and Sarpis. That would be my starting sort of front end. And then off the bench, I'd be looking to get Joel Colwell. I'd be looking to get Ashford on for 20 minutes towards the end. Reece says, Collins was outstanding, even offered something going forward. Yeah, I think he's made quite big strides. Not massive, but like if you look at him from like previous years, I think he's made big strides in his forward play throughout this season. I think he's improved generally. I think defensively he's been pretty sound all season. I think he gets a bit of a raw deal sometimes. He can dally a bit on the ball and be a bit sort of ponderous and take a bit of time to do his passing, but he can improve that. I think he's a real good player, a real good left back. Reece says, problem is, if a striker makes a mistake, it's forgotten about easily. If a defender makes a mistake, you're usually punished. I think he's tired. It's been a long season and he's had to adjust. That's with Gutas. Yeah, I do. I agree. And like I say, it's not... It's not that I think he's a failure or I don't think he's good enough. It's I just think the last month or so he's worried me. And I actually think he's got a good partnership with Phillips and with McGuinness, which says a lot about him as a player, that he's able to build two strong partnerships at the back. You're probably right, he's just tired. Jamie Evans says, Ruben was great. Turnbull for Riles was perfect. Worked really well. Broke the lines with his balls to Ruben. And nice for Kieran to get some minutes as well. Yeah, Med, I've been saying that since the day, literally since the day Turnbull signed. Play him alongside Siopis and you will see a different Cardiff City. First time he's done it. And I thought, even for 10 minutes, I thought it was really, really promising. Reese says Bowler was poor. Andrew Whitcomb says Bullock said he will play more expansive football if Cardiff get good transfers in the summer. He did say he's playing boring football at times. Your thoughts? So my thoughts are, I understand that he possibly feels that he can't play expansive football because he hasn't got the players he wants to make that happen. But I do disagree because, like, we have got plenty of players who can create and be play good football if you release them. I think part of the problem with Bowler, part of the problem, is that we don't play to his strengths. Part of the problem with Grant, we don't play to his strengths. Even like Colwell, that takes up good positions, beats a man, there's no movement off the ball. And I, you know, how much of that is because we haven't got a number nine? How much of it is because we're quite slow in the build-up? I think that's probably a problem, but I think that can be addressed with a Turnbull next to Siop, as someone who can really break the lines. Joe Rawls can do it. I just think he's in the latter part of his career. And I think next year he'd be more of a squad player or someone who can play certain games. But I just want to see Turnbull in there against Siop. It's like a broken record, don't I? Last couple of minutes. Then if you've got any questions, get them in. Reece says, I think if you look at the season overall, we've been one decent striker away from the playoffs, I would say. So many games we've lost or drawn because Atete played up front and missed. Yeah, I mean, we missed Atete particularly, but I mean, Mate missed a massive one-on-one against Leicester just before they got their winner, you know, away from home. And, you know, it's been like that all season. We've missed massive chances, the number nines have. And that's why, everyone wants to see Ashford. I think it's a lot of pressure, but if he's good enough, he'll show it. And I think that's why I would like to see him and Joel Colwell and Tanner playing a lot now in these last few games, because we need to know if they can be a part of the first team squad next year. And it's not often that you get the opportunity in a championship to sort of test players out without fear of the result. So you can, you know, two youth players and a young player, give them some football. Give them a half, give them a start, give them half an hour, and let's see if they are genuinely going to be able to not sink or swim, because I'm not saying, you know, if they don't play well, bin them. I'm just saying that maybe we'll know if they need to go on loan at the early part of this season, because it's one thing seeing them in training or for the 23s. It's another thing, like, you look at Kobe Mainoo, just as an example, what he's done. Like, you put him in the first team, sometimes young players just flourish. Now, I'm not saying they will, not saying they won't, but they're clearly talented boys. There's no pressure in terms of points and relegation and playoffs. So let's have a real good look at these guys. And then we know, right, it might be that, right, Ashford can stay and play off the right and be a backup striker. Or it might be that let's send him on like a 3-month loan, bring him back in January. So he's playing first team football. Joel Colwell, I think we need a full season on loan. He might not, but we won't know until we look at them in first team football. I think Andrew says if Bullet's staying next year, he'll sell Robinson. And so I think we're selling Robinson anyway, mate. I'm not someone who claims to be like in the know and all this crap, because I think it's embarrassing. But some of the stuff I've heard this year about him particularly and some a couple of other players with regards to attitudes towards the coaching staff and manager and teammates is ridiculous. I said, I think a couple of months ago when he was out injured, I said he didn't think he'd play for the club again. He's played once since then, I think, off the bench. him and Romeo. So Romeo and Robinson were left out of the squad last night. We only went with 19. And the manager said it was for disciplinary reasons. Look, it's time. You got to move him on for his sake, for the club's sake, for the changing room's sake. Like, there'll be clubs will take him. He's on big wages, but I'm sure someone will take him. I would sell Robinson. Romeo's a weird one. I have never heard anything negative about Romeo. I've heard that he works hard, he's good, he's got a good attitude. So I'm surprised that he was sort of in that disciplinary thing. And I think he's a good squad player to have because he can play holding right back. And he can also play in the centre like as a three. So like I'd be wanting to keep Romeo as a squad player, really. But if there's a problem there, you've got to get rid of it. Who we get rid of this season will be as important as who we get in, because there's been some issues in the changing room this year, and we need to move some players on. Reece says, I'd be floating a contract offer to Kipri right now, seeing as he doesn't seem to want to stay at West Brom. Yeah, 100%, mate. Especially because I think there's a chance that we sell one of, if not both, NG and McGuinness. I think NG is going to go myself. And look, if he gets an offer from a Premier League club, you can't really begrudge it. I hope he stays, though, because I actually think we're not too far off challenging for playoffs in terms of the squad if we get it right in the summer. But we'll see. There was a chant going, Errol Bullitt, we want you to stay. And it was great. 98% of the away end joined in. Yeah, and I think the away fans are often the best gauge of what like the hardcore fan base think. And I know, you know, people get frustrated and social media and the phone in, and yeah, everyone's frustrated by the manager's tactics at home. But I think away from home, our form is like amazing. I'd be really interested actually to know, quickly see if I can bring it up before, because I got to finish now. Championship away form table. I'd be very surprised if we're not like right up there, because our away form has been really good. We've been really unlucky away from home as well in a couple of games. There you go. Our away form, we're like, that's handy. We're 8th in the league on away form only. And I think we've been quite unlucky with that as well. Like some games we've been quite unlucky. So that kind of speaks to that home form with 13th. So I think that shows that there's a bit of an issue. So, yeah, there we are. Appreciate you all. Please do jump on Roger Giggs and Football Now on Ace Podcast Nation straight after this. We are only doing a quick one tonight due to personal commitments, but we're going to be talking the Champions League. We're going to be talking Manchester United versus Liverpool, and we're going to be talking the top 10 attacking midfielders in Premier League history. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for joining me. Make sure you join the Flower Hour with Gavin Gordon at 9 o'clock back here on Cardiff City World. Jump over onto Ace Podcast Nation right now. Cheers, guys. Podcast Network.